And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother James. Believe. It means to accept something as true. He had already said, your daughter will live. Your daughter will be fine. He needed that man to only believe God. Now, you got to understand something. This man was a ruler in the synagogue. He was doing what was right by the law. Many of the scribes and Pharisees were corrupt, twisted, basically politicians at this point. They were not doing the will of God. They were self-centered, self-seeking people. But this man obviously was doing what he was supposed to be because he knew enough to come to Jesus. Okay? Basically, as a ruler of a synagogue, he was a pastor. And he came to Jesus for help. He knew where to turn to get this help. So for us to truly believe, we have to accept that God, what God has said as truth. Now, you hearing me? This man's daughter was sick. She was dying. And Jesus said, she will live. She will be fine. She will be healed. He had to accept right then, even though he had confirmation from the servant that was probably standing there when she passed, had confirmation that she had died. Jesus said, only believe. There goes more into believing than just merely, okay, I believe, I believe, I believe. We can sing these songs, I believe, I believe, I believe, and we'll get ourselves all hyped up. But do we believe? Because if we believe, there's more that goes in hand with believing. James said that we do good to believe in God, that even the demons believe in God. Pat, would you shut the air conditioning off? Would you shut the air conditioning down? Yeah, I am. I see people putting, yeah, I'm cold, believe it or not. I meant to shut it off when I was down back there, and I didn't. But James said that. He said, you do good to believe in God. Even the demons believe in God. There's all kinds of people. They believe in God. Guess what? A lot of them are sitting in churches today. They believe in God. They just don't believe God. They treat him as if he's somebody who has lied. And you want to know why? It's because they asked him for something, and because his word says that if whatever you ask in my name, you shall receive it. They failed to realize there's something else essential to receiving the things from God. It goes beyond believing. I believe, I receive. Chant the mantra all you want. It's no different than getting a witchcraft spell out. If you do not truly believe. And I'll get to the point here in a minute because I know I see some of you. What's going on? Many times we do not understand what believing God is about. The reason is because we are very nearsighted. We can only see what is right in front of us. We're looking at facts. We're looking at this thing. We don't understand all this stuff. So we have a difficult time believing God. God's got a greater picture. God's got a purpose that will pan out for me for the federal government shutting down. He's got something that will work out for me. But there's a greater purpose beyond that. And I need to keep my focus on that, not on poor me. We want to see it before we believe it. If we cannot, then we stumble at believing. Oh, I don't know. I think I got to see God heal somebody. You probably won't. But if you believe God can heal and will heal, you probably will see it. That's why Jesus said childlike faith. You tell a child there's a Santa Claus and a guy who comes down the chimney with a fire going and he brings in Christmas gifts, they will believe you. (Clears throat) And that's for this reason that Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. You're blessed when you believe God, not because you saw what God did for Rob and Katie, but because you believe what He can do for you. Examples from the Bible are fine. It's great to get in the Bible and read about Gideon and David and all these other men and women of faith in the Bible. It's great. It's awesome to hear testimonies sitting in here. As a matter of fact, Pat shared one with me today about his cousin. We prayed for his cousin who's 95, I think you said. Yeah, Pat's on the lower end of the age spectrum of all of his cousins. He's got cousins in their 80s and 90s. But anyhow, he said, the very next day we got an email. They're doing fine. They're recovering. They're feeling great. We prayed for them Sunday. They believe. But I know Pat and Brenda don't believe because they've seen it. They continue to believe and it just strengthens. It's harder to tear something away once you have seen it. But once you believe it and you just keep going, you can ask God to move a mountain. So all these examples are great. They just cannot replace taking God at face value of what He has said. God says something, you got to take it at face value. He says you're healed, you got to declare it. Can I tell you a little something, folks? I've still gotten from time to time. I've noticed I can read. I don't know what's going on. I just don't move it too fast. But I'm like, I can actually read this without needing my glasses right now. Why? Because my God says I'm healed. Hebrews 11:6. I quoted this a little bit earlier. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Okay, we're talking base level faith. You've got to believe in God. Okay? And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You've got to believe that God is diligent in rewarding you for seeking after Him. If you seek God, guess what you're going to find? You're going to find God, but you're going to find His will. You're going to find out His calling in your life. You're going to find out why God made you who you are. But if you do not stay the course, and that means steady, when all hell rises up against you, you cannot just keep backing off. That's when you've got to believe more than ever. So you've got to believe not only that there is a God and that you believe in God. I know lots of people do not serve God, but they believe in God. It's amazing the number of celebrities that say they believe in God. Oh, my Christian faith, this. For crying out loud, Gene Simmons even believes in God, and he's from KISS. But he does not live for God. He does not believe God. He doesn't believe that God is going to punish him. Well, after all, He's omnipotent and loving. He loves us. He doesn't want to punish us. Bible says that He's going to punish those for being disobedient. Now, in other words, God will reward you for seeking to know Him. There's a benefit to knowing God. And there's a difference between knowing somebody and knowing somebody. Okay? You can have knowledge of a person, but then there's a relationship. Your friends, your comrades. There's a big difference between those knowing. And that's where everybody else is at. They're over here in this knowing. But once you get into this friendship realm, you do things for each other. And that's just the way it is. And that's what God wants. God's like, I need you to do my will. I need you to be my hands and feet on this earth. You need to do what I've asked you to do. But you're going to have to take a step in faith and believe that I'm already there and I will reward you. To know God, you must seek His will. Do what He wants, and then the rewards will come. But no, that's not how we want it, is it? We want all the rewards first. God, I want to see all the rewards come in my life. God's not going to pay you until you do the job. That's foolishness. And that's foolish preaching, because that's a lot of times what's being taught today. That's why we have people being duped out of their life savings. Oh, just give, 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 give. That's great. But did God tell you to give your life savings to that person? If God did not tell you, all you did was pay the chicken to lay a big egg. Because you will not be rewarded for it. Because more than likely, God was telling you, no, 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 no. But nobody wants to listen to the Holy Spirit. We get caught up in the sensationalism or the cult of personality. Oh, they're a dynamic speaker. Who cares? I know lots of people that are great speakers, but they're on the highway to hell. Fast-tracked. You must search out what His heart says about something, about giving, about sowing seed. There are things, you can always lend to the poor, folks. Actually, you give to the poor, you lend to God. You can always do that. You sow seed. I promise you, you can ask any farmer if they just go throw seed in any field. Well, you can ask Richard. He can tell you. They don't just arbitrarily throw seed into any field they want. They rotate the crops. They keep adding things back to the crop or to the ground. They rotate this stuff. They don't just arbitrarily do it. They plan it out. They think it out. And they now know how to get the most yield out of them. But that's not what we want to do. We want to, oh, hey, I'm just going to frivolously just throw away everything I've ever worked for in this one get-rich-quick scheme. Because, well, after all, God blesses me if I give, right? I need you to understand, I'm not talking about when God, you need to understand about giving. It's your key, okay? You got to have seed in the ground. Farmers do not reap harvest if they don't work in the spring putting that seed in the ground. However, you've got to use some smarts with it. You can't just say, well, I sowed $1,000 into that ministry and I'm believing God right now for a lifetime of wealth. It isn't going to happen. Because blessing is not based on a one-time seed that you sowed. It's a lifetime of obedience. It has nothing to do with something you did one little time. We'll get to some things here in a minute. To know what He says on any given thing, you must know Him. You know Him by time spent with Him, reading about Him, and listening to Him. Folks, can I tell you a little something? Most of what you read in the Bible is conversations between God and man. David and Asaph and all these other psalmists and the writers of Proverbs, they wrote down what God told them. But yet, it's an amazing thing to me. People get very similar things today and we say, we can't read that. It's not the Bible. That's not a revelation. It didn't come out of the Word. Well, where did David get his revelation from? He did not have access to the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of them had not been written yet. He got it by spending time with God. He got to know God. When he was writing in Psalm 23, he was talking from personal experience. You don't get any greater revelation than that to know somebody. Everybody can look around and they'll tell you, you don't want to be a part of them, you don't want to know them, you know, whatever, be aware of them. I've actually had people do that and say, you need to be aware of this person. Why? You don't know them. I do. just makes me want to slap them with a closed fist. Because that's being stupid. You cannot, I've got the gift of discernment. Discern this. I don't want your prejudice. I want to get to know somebody. And the people that they've told me to beware of turned out to be the most faithful people. You know what? You can keep all your lawyers and your doctors and stuff who bring in big bucks. I don't care. I'll take the rednecks, thank you very much. I'll take the poor, the broken. I'll take those that society looks down on anytime. I'll take doctors and lawyers if they want to come in. They need to repent, most of them probably, especially lawyers. But I've actually got a friend who's a lawyer, and she's a believer, and I do not believe she's corrupt in any means. But above all, you get to know God by obeying Him. Jesus told us in the book of John, He said, I call you my friends now, for a man does not, or a master does not tell his servants what he is doing. But you are my friends. But you're only my friends if you do what I say. That means to obey. Okay? You're only my friends. We love to sing the song, I'm a friend of Jesus. I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. Yeah, whatever. Are you? Are you obeying God? I like challenging you like this. Are we a friend of God? Are we obeying what God has said to do? Or are we so caught up in the hype of the next teaching series that Brother Blabbermouth has got going on that we totally forget that God told us to go next door to the widow and clean off her front porch? Oh, but God, I want to be on the stage and I want to lead thousands to the Lord. One person brought to Christ causes the entire angels and all of heaven to rejoice. So what difference does it make? One person is as valuable as 1,000 to God. He just wants obedience. That's truly believing God, isn't it? But no, we're so worried about our futures. I know it's concerning. If we sit down and think about it real long, at this juncture, I quit thinking. It hurts too much. Because I haven't got a clue. Never in a million years would I have expected or guessed that the United States would be in the situation it's in right now. Never. Deuteronomy 4, 28 through 30 says, and there you will serve God. God's telling Israel that what's going to probably end up happening to them. The work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat or smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, the blessing will come upon you when you obey. Brother Copeland's got a great message about the blessing, but we got to start paving the... You got to have a base layer for a highway. You need to go down 71. If you haven't been on 71 for a while, go down there. They're digging down... Oh, good night, Rich. What would you say? You've probably been down it lately. What, about 2 feet? 2 feet concrete and packed asphalt and then stone. They had to get a thick base layer to support a couple inches. Probably 6 inches is about all they put on the top. They've got this much underneath it supporting it. Where the blessing is this message on the top. It's the topping. We need the base. If the base is not solid, you end up with holes. You end up with highways and roads that split. And that's the problem in the church. We've got the topping down. Oh, everybody loves to hear the topping. They just don't want to hear about the base. They don't want to hear about all the packing and the pressure and all the arduous work that goes into making it and keeping it and maintaining it. They don't want to hear about that. Because guess what? If the base is crooked, the dressing's going to be crooked. So we've gotten the cart before the horse in the blessing message. I'm walking in the blessing of Abraham. You don't know about the blessing of Abraham. You have not done what Abraham did. Oh, he just believed. Hogwash. I'm going to show you. He did not just believe. He took every time God told him to look up and see the stars, see the sand. He just did that several times. But God put him to a test. When his son was in his 30s, God said, "Now I want you to sacrifice him to me." Abraham's like, "Huh?" But Abraham, his faith was strong in God that God could raise him from the dead. Why? Because God made Abraham a promise. And Abraham took God at face value back here when he left Haran. When he left his homeland and his family, he took God at face value on this thing. And he said, "All right, oh, I've got the son of promise. Let's rejoice 30 years later. Sacrifice him." Say what? Okay. I'll do it. Because I believe, God, that you can raise him from the dead. He was willing to do it. He was seriously going to kill Isaac. We all like to think that Abraham was up here. He was going through this thing just as if Isaac was a lamb. Because his faith, he believed God. And because he believed God, Abraham was thrown into the faith hall of fame that's listed in the book of Hebrews. Noah. Oh, yeah, so what? Yeah, Noah. Noah wouldn't have been there if he hadn't built the ark. None of the people listed in there would have been there if they had not obeyed the voice of God. Blessing came into their life because they obeyed the voice of God. God has a plan for this earth. We need to do what he has instructed for us to do. God has not instructed me to go around the world and preach. God has instructed me to be here and to raise up adults, grown-ups, mature believers. There are people who have a soul-winning burden on them, Billy Graham being one of them. The man has led, I bet you they really don't even know how many. They got a guesstimation. But I'm sure it's in the millions. And I've led quite a few people to the Lord. But the evangelical side of soul winning is not my main part. My main part is to raise up the believers. Why? Because in the 30-some years I've been in the church, I've seen people come in and blow out in 6 months because they didn't grow up. Why? Because they really weren't getting the word. They were told, "Just believe, just believe." Well, the people weren't obeying God. That's not belief. If we do not obey him, then we are in reality rebellious children who will not receive from his hand the blessings he desires, but rather the wrath of an angry God. We can keep saying, "Oh, we believe, we believe, we believe." God moves on faith backed by obedience. If I say I believe God, He says, prove it. Come out on the water. That's essentially what he did for Peter. If it's you, tell me to come. All right, come. What is your water? What's your sea? But I promise you, it's going to require you trusting him like you've never had to believe before. But once you do, you will see God bless you. You will see him step into your life and begin to bless you at every turn. I think I do believe and know one of the things why we are in this stalemate right now. Because there is something that's going to be very detrimental to this country take effect January 1st. And I think God's got something to say about it. Pride and arrogance can't go on forever, folks. You've got to understand that. God struck down, I can't remember which Caesar it was, the one that died of worms. It said the worms just started eating him right then and there because he took glory for something God did. Instead of giving God the glory, he took it upon himself and the pride and arrogance. God sent an angel right then, gave him a devouring worm that ate him out from the inside. He died, and it's proven in history. I just can't remember which one it is. I believe one of the greatest things we can do to unleash the blessings in our life is to simply obey him. Hey, I missed some of my notes. Where did I miss them at? All the patriarchs that are listed in the book of Hebrews, and any of them you go back through the Bible and find, would not have accomplished one thing. Not one ounce would they have received reward in their life had they not obeyed God. They could speak faith all day long. I speak to this mountain. Jesus said, when you speak to that mountain, you cannot doubt. I mean, you got to have faith in God, because to be honest with you, folks, seriously, can we just tell a mountain to move? No. It takes God. Now, we can tell a D9 dozer and a crew with dynamite to go move it, and they can do a pretty good job of starting on it. Faith is not about getting things. It's about obeying God and trusting him to take care of you and prosper you. That's how the just live by faith. They just don't live by faith by the fact that they just won the lottery. Publishers Clearinghouse showed up and gave them their $5,000 a week for life, which is really beneficial if you're in your 20s. Kind of pointless if you're in your 90s. But nonetheless, that's not living by faith. God wants us all to live by faith, but he wants us to prosper. I heard one minister say one time that he, every year, he emptied out his accounts. He'd preach all year long, travel the world. He said, I'd travel the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, every December 31st, I'd sit down, God, where do you want this money to go? He said, I'd zero it all out. And start the next year living by faith. He was doing what God had told him to do. Now you need to understand, this man I'm talking about was a gangster. I mean, we're talking Capone type, but from Australia. We are so caught up in thinking that we're doing the will of God by chasing itinerant preachers. Listen, you want to go hear somebody preach? Praise God. You want to hear Joyce preach? Go. I love listening to her preach, to be honest with you. I think I've gone about every time I can get there. You hear Creflo Dog, come, you get down there. But let me tell you something. There's people that follow itinerant preachers everywhere they go. Oh, I'm doing the will of God. Hallelujah. No, you're not. Because God didn't tell you to follow brother so-and-so. God told you to go to brother so-and-so's meeting that night. Hear the message. Let it get into your heart and change you. And then go out and do something with it. That's what he wants. He just wants us to obey. Faith and trust equal obedience in the kingdom of Christ. Not, hey, I'll do what I want, do, just go do, go here, go there. You know, there, actually history has proven many times when the men of God start doing that, they quit doing what God called them because somebody, they heard somebody say, oh, brother, you need to do this. I'll be like Elijah's, the widow to Elijah. I'll put a place on the side of my house. It'll be your room. I'll take care of you. History has proven that stole the anointing from them. They got out of the will of God and they stopped preaching and they went goofy. You can read about it in a book called God's Generals. Downside is to that, the guy that wrote the book went goofy. Because I believe he wrote it out of condemnation and critical spirit, yes. But by reading it, I learned I had better make sure I'm obeying God. And that's how, folks, I'm telling you right now, I'm not teaching you a theory. I'm not teaching you something I read in a book. I'm teaching you something I've learned in the trenches. Ask Pat, and Harold's with the kids right now, but ask those guys. When they got to Vietnam, what did they tell you? Listen to your platoon sergeant. He'll keep you alive. Why would you listen to the platoon sergeant? Because he's been there. He's been in the bushes. And he knows the enemy. And guess what? The guy at the training camp had no clue what he was talking about because he'd never been to Vietnam. All he knew is what the Encyclopedia Britannica told him about Vietnam. But the platoon sergeant who's been there and he's fought in every battle for a year. So what I'm telling you now is not anything that it's just a theory. It's what I've seen in my own life. The blessings come upon me when I obey God. It may just be one thing at that particular moment that unleashes something else that I've been believing for. I'm excited to see what standing firm and believing God to do is going to do, not just for me, but for this country, for this church. Everything that I do releases the blessing in my life. I can go out, listen, there's so many other things that we can be doing besides playing church. You know, I could just go get a regular job. It'd drive me nuts now. I've been basically my own boss for 13 years. I don't know if I could take orders from somebody else anymore. Especially somebody trying to tell me how to do business, and I had my own for 7. But you see, when I gave all that up, I walked away from it. And God has been turning that into a blessing in my life. I've grown. I've seen my friends grow. I've seen my family grow. I've seen God step people up. Yeah, there's been some headbutting along the way, and it happens. But only the strong survive. It's the truth. The battle is not for the weak. And I'm not talking about those that are weak and let God be their strength. Because if God is not your strength, you are seriously weak. Because it's not by our power that we do any of this. The Bible says the blessings will overtake you. I don't do what I do. I don't worry about making sure that I go out and start getting my mantra up and get my, you know, seven times a day I say this mantra so that blessing will come upon my life. Nah. I say, all right, God, what is it you want me to do today? Is there somebody I need to talk to? And you know what? There's been times I felt the Lord wanted me to grab somebody the other day and just take them along with ride with me when I went to Marion. I called them up. They never answered. I said, well, evidently, God, that wasn't you. But I ended up running into somebody else from my past while in Marion. And I know he blessed me. And I would hope I blessed him. But it's just funny. Okay, yep. I thought maybe I was supposed to talk to this person, but it didn't work out. So what do? Oh, God, I missed you. Don't worry about it. I just knew where I needed to go, and God made an appointment, and bada bing, bada boom. You just need to be obedient. And let me tell you right now, folks, listen, I'll wrap up here. If God's told you to do something and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that conviction is in your heart, and I'm talking about conviction that's making your stomach twist and your heart want to jump out of your throat, when you've got that kind of conviction, you'd better follow it. You had better follow it, because if your heart doesn't jump out of your throat, it will die. Because it's a major point in your life. Don't let it be a bad thing to you. But be obedient to him, and I promise you, he will be faithful. He's never failed me one time. Every time, I'm going to tell you right now, not everything has gone smoothly with this house deal with us. I mean, I'm sitting down there with my papers. The mortgage broker says, okay, well, all right, yeah, comes back in after she's got everything copied, says, what is this? Well, I don't know. I should have known. It's the last time I let somebody else do my taxes without going over them with a fine-tooth comb. But they had done a rookie mistake on my taxes and kind of messed me over a little bit. So I started jumping through hoops and then got a call and said, you know what? It's fine. But just get a letter stating that they'll never do that again. God has worked everything out. They keep throwing things at me. We want proof that you're paying off this loan. By the way, the Patriot Act really, I don't know what it's accomplishing. Except they're hindering patriots. And what's that? And killing trees. Yeah. I signed my name 54 times. I haven't even gotten the loan papers yet. 54 stinking times. And most of it was just saying that, yes, I am a U.S. citizen. No, I am not a terrorist. Yes, I make money in the United States. I don't know. But I'm trusting and believing that God's going to do great things in your life. But I promise you, you've got to be obedient. And a lot of times, obedience is a little uncomfortable. Most of us in here may, or I don't know, look around, probably about 50-50 of those who played a sport. If your coach had told you to do something, you'd have done it, no matter how uncomfortable it was. Push just a little harder. Hit them just a little bit harder. Go just a little bit longer. You'd have done it to please your coach. But yet we don't do it for God. And God's the one who can bless us or cast our soul into hell. I strongly encourage you, and anybody listening to this, believing it's recording. So far, so good. It hasn't rejected. So I should just shut up and end it now. But I want you to obey God, folks. I want you to see the blessings of God in your life. Because while there's been obstacles come our way in this, God has brought blessing right into our lap. It says the blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. We'll talk about something God showed me on that later. All right, let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, first off, that you're a gracious and loving and forgiving God. And Father, I ask now that you forgive us for the disobedience. Let it not become condemnation in our lives that will hinder us from further obedience. But rather, Father, that it will spur us on, that we will no longer disobey, and we will do what you've asked us to do. And now, Lord, cause this word to come to complete revelation in our lives. Father, that this word of obedience will rather stir us to step out and believe you and trust you. Father, I bless these people now. Go with them, Lord God, and continue to stir your dream, your vision in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.